Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty great. We've got must-hear music coming up today with Ooh. Billboard.com senior editor Joe Lynch.
Ooh la la. Well, stay tuned for that in just a second, because, as always, the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got must-hear music. Joe and the team will be chatting about Miley Cyrus's new single, Malibu, which will make its television debut on the Billboard Music Awards next weekend.
Yes.
New albums from Harry Styles and much more. So stick around for all of that in just a bit.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, and why wouldn't you want to, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. Well, now that we have two of One Direction's members releasing their own albums, Zayn last year, now we have Harry Styles' new album, do we have thoughts on perhaps favorite solo efforts from boy banders, like post-boy band success, solo entry into the world? It could be a song, or it could be an album.
Oh, I have thoughts.
Well, we know that you love Justin Timberlake.
Obviously, I'm going to talk about Justin Timberlake now.
This was all a setup to talk about Justin.
But really, Justin Timberlake, I think, had one of the smoothest transitions from boy band to solo career of all time. And I think it's a credit to Like I Love You, an amazing debut solo single, and Justified as a whole album. Mm-hmm. And working with Pharrell and Timbaland and having them on his side and really kind of, you know, having a legit radio hip-hop sound right out of the gate.
They also smartly kind of like sort of segued him into that, because the Celebrity album from NSYNC was a showcase for Justin as kind of like a rhythmic R&B artist, and like songs like Girlfriend was
that was like a preview for Justified.
Yeah.
And Gone was virtually a Justin Timberlake solo single.
Yeah.
Also, how about you, Keith?
Well, I know this doesn't technically count because Michael Jackson had solo things before Off the Wall, but I mean,
oh, you're going to play the MJ card, huh? The best example of all time.
I'm not picking like Ben or like his early 70s stuff. I'm thinking like Off the Wall was his Epic Records debut. It was when he was sort of, you know, properly like his debut as a man, like as a, you know, a fully formed solo artist. And, you know, Off the Wall is just a perfect album.
Still a classic. Hopefully Harry's might be a future classic as well. We'll find out now on Must Hear Music.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch and I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And special guest John Norris.
What's up, guys?
John has been on the podcast before, but
back in the day,
but more importantly, probably more importantly, let's be honest. Recently interviewed the one and only Miley Cyrus for the last cover of Billboard, which was an incredible story. This was her first interview in a while, like definitely our first substantial interview in years.
Yeah, yeah.
And we finally have that first taste of the new album, untitled album. It's called Malibu. But you were in her studio with her.
Yeah.
There is video of that on billboard.com right now. She kind of like walks through the new song. But before we, I guess, just talk about it, so the new song finds Miley kind of going away from the bangers, like hip-hop inflected direction, more of a Sheryl Crow, like half country, half California folk pop vibe. It's very relaxed, laid back, melodic, very sweet romantic song.
Yep.
Co-written with Oren Yoel, I think is his name pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote Adore You on the Bangers album. So it kind of has, that, I think, that similar, like, beautiful, like, romanticism about it. But
he also wrote Baby Talk, which wasn't so romantic, but was awesome. Awesome from Dead Pets. But anyway.
So you heard the song way before anyone else.
Yeah.
You were in the studio with her.
Yeah.
When you first heard it, what did you think? Like, were you surprised by this direction compared to Bangers and Dead Pets?
Mind you, when I went out there, I've been told almost nothing about the sound of the record. So I was really flying blind as far as talking about the music. It's sort of in any kind of specific way, but all I'd been told was it's a bit more of a singer songwriter kind of vein, and that's it. And I love Malibu. But I love Dead Pets too. I told her that I was probably one of the few people who actually liked Dead Pets more than Bangers, and she's like,
I am right there with you.
And she's like, that's why you're here. She goes, I want you to tell Adam that, her manager Adam. She goes, I want you to tell Adam that because he never believed in Dead Pets, and I used to tell him, I know you don't, but I can tell in your face you don't believe in Dead Pets, but. Yeah, clearly she's made a decision to make a real abrupt turn. And it's not just Malibu. I mean, the whole record is very much, I don't want to say it sounds like Malibu because there's some different flavors on it. But yeah, I mean, it couldn't be more different from the last couple of records. And so I was blown away when I heard Malibu, but in a nice way. I thought it was really, really sweet. So yeah.
One thing I'm curious, because I, and we were talking, arguing, one might even say, Jason and I about this earlier, because I love Malibu. Mm-hmm. Jason's a little more suspicious of it.
Suspicious of it.
Yeah.
What's she up to here?
Yeah, what is she doing? One thing I really like about it is, you know, and I loved the Bangers hits, but they were like such big, you know, Max Martin, Dr. Lukey choruses. I like that this is more subdued, that like it is very catchy, but like it doesn't, like the chorus doesn't like bludgeon you over the head. Like by the third time you hear it, you're not like, okay, here's the chorus again. Like it's more organic. It's like a more, kind of like I said, like a 70s California pop sort of thing.
For like, sure. I like that Sheryl Crow. I hadn't heard that before, but I like, because there's a little bit of a soak up the sun kind of.
Oh, really, John? Huh? I said the same thing a couple hours ago, and everyone kind of laughed at me.
I love soak up the sun. I don't know why Jason was saying that like a bad thing. I think soak up the sun is a classic.
Oh, so you were saying that as a negative. Oh,
no.
Okay.
Well, I was just saying that. Anyway, continue. Okay.
No. I like that. I like the comparison. I was, because I do, I think there's, as you, when you hear the record, there's definitely even like twangier moments on the record than this. And Billy Ray, who I talked to also for the piece, said that he felt like Malibu, this is Billy Ray's description, mind you, mm-hmm. was, he said, John, I don't know, brother.
Oh,
I'd say it's a little bit Dolly Parton, who of course you know is her godmother. A little bit Dolly, a little bit Beach Boys, a little bit Roy Orbison, and that was his description of it. So you know, for what that's worth,
that's really funny.
But
that's what Dad says about
that's
it.
That's what Dad says. Yeah. And he said he thinks she's leaning into her roots more than ever. Which, yeah.
So the rest of what you've heard from it, are mm-hmm. there, like, kind of what I was saying about the choruses? Are like some of the other choruses more like you think like kind of pop chart oriented, or are they all kind of this like more laid back singer songwriter?
No, there's some more aggressive song. There's one I guess I describe it as kind of 80s style power pop track on it. I don't know how much I really don't know how much I'm allowed to say, like in terms of titles and stuff, because
right.
I think I could be
Maybe to play it safe.
Yeah,
let's not.
I should probably not do that. But it's a song that she said came to her like in a dream, almost fully formed in a dream. And but it's definitely got. I mean, it doesn't sound like what's on pop radio that much today, but it definitely sounds like a single to me. And then there's a truly epic track that's got this kind of anthemic build to it that is, I think, lyrically maybe the most thematic, sort of kind of sets a kind of a thesis for where she's at right now. And again, I mean, I could tell you guys lyrics, I could tell you guys titles, but I think it's too early for that. And
a laser just appeared over your forehead.
Exactly. So anyway, yeah, I don't want to do that. But there's different things on it. And like I said, there's a couple moments that are more kind of country flavored, folk flavored. There's a really quiet, completely acoustic track on it. There's a song, a really sweet song that she wrote for Hillary Clinton, which is in the article. I'll say this. Don't expect anything that is, you know, typical of what radio dance, pop, electronic dance sort of oriented pop today sounds like. You can pretty much know that there's not any of that on there. So,
is the Hillary song called "Such a Nasty Woman"?
Wow, it's called "Inspired," and I think I shouldn't even have said that. Did I say that in the article?
We can bleep that out.
Was that in the article?
We can beep.
I don't know.
It's called.
I really can't remember if that was in the article or not.
I don't think it is.
So, John, let me. Joe has hinted correctly that I'm a little bit more lukewarm on Malibu. Let me ask you a question because you've heard some of these songs. The comparison I keep going back to, I said Soak Up the Sun because of the video more than anything, where she's like traipsing around on the beach and with balloons and having a great time.
She's soaking up the sun.
She's soaking up the sun, literally. Listening to this song, the artist comparison or the album comparison or whatever that I keep coming back to is Justin Timberlake with the 2020 Experience. Another album that was... You're looking a little skeptical,
but
it doesn't sound like the 2020 Experience. But the 2020 Experience was an album that was made while Justin Timberlake was in love, and it's about his marriage basically, and it's about like how happy he is. Like that's basically the point of 2020 Experience, is like he's settled down a little bit, he's super happy now, and he's going to reflect.
There's
on
nothing
that
wrong
song.
With being happy, right?
Absolutely. This kind of reminds me of that she's found some peace, that she's, you know, whereas Bangers was definitely more aggressive in terms of stylistic and risk taking. This is a little bit more subdued. Do you think I'm completely off the mark?
No, I don't think you're off the mark.
Oh, thanks, John. How's it going, Joe?
But I will say this, that as when you hear the album, that not every track is as blissful as Malibu. I mean, Malibu is in a very happy place, and there are definitely songs that have got that are infused with doubt and infused with and not just relationship doubt, just sort of life doubt, you know. But and some that are just more generally like the one I mentioned before, the Hillary one, that's has more to do with, I don't know, just general kind of inspiration and feeling positive about one's life. And and there's one that broadly addresses women in the workplace. So it's not all that in that, but Malibu for sure is one of the more blissful tracks on the record. But just to also answer that, I don't want to take too much time, but I think here's the thing. My take on this is when 2015 ended and she just finished Milky Milk Milk, which I can't believe I missed that tour, dude. Like, I heard it was like batshit.
I've never seen Miley live. Yeah,
crazy. Well, Bangers,
I missed it too, and I'm so sad.
Yeah, I've never seen. I didn't see.
Well,
the Bangers.
Bangers was great. I mean, it was like it doesn't get written enough about. I think is a really wonderful sort of pop experience extravaganza. But Milky Milk Milk was a whole nother animal, from what I understand from people who saw it, and much more kind of raunchy and like almost like a punk burlesque kind of vibe. And when that ended, and she sort of felt like the her experience, her long strange trip with the Flaming Lips had come to an end, I don't think she really knew it. At least she told me at the end of 2015 she didn't really know what 2016 would hold. And then the Voice offer kind of came out of the blue. She said to me, she's like, dude, the fact that Mark Burnett would want to hire me after I had had 30 drag queens and trans people on stage with me at the VMAs, and and I just did this, like, you know, tour where I was wearing a unicorn dick. Like, I mean, more power to him. And I told Adam, her manager, she goes, I told him that was like karma, you know, like that meant we were on the right path. And so, you know, I think that two things. I think that The Voice, and knowing that she had this red state audience week in, week out, and she was surrounded by more traditional music than Dead Pets was offering up to a large extent. And also the backyard sessions she did the year before, I think, you know, with, you know, Ariana and Melanie Safka, and she was doing Paul Simon songs and in Crowded House. And I think that all of that probably, and this is me, she didn't explicitly say this, but I think that that kind of turned her more in this more traditional kind of singer-songwriter direction. And perhaps the desire to make nice with more conservative elements of this rather divided country.
Well,
so that's all. I'm sorry to take so much time.
Can't wait to hear more. I'm a little bit disappointed with Malibu, just because I think that I remember listening to We Can't Stop for the first time and just being like so shocked, and like it was really a jarring experience coming from the Can't Be Tamed album. Sure. that whose name I'm blanking on. Maybe is it called? I think it's just called Can't Be Tamed. Yes. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And I just remember listening to We Can't Stop. I was like, wow, this is like a really bold thing that she's doing, and it's a great song. This is definitely a little bit more like you said, like it's definitely more singer songwriter, and she sounds great on it. I don't think the song itself is connecting with me after just a couple listens, obviously, but it'll be interesting to see what she does.
You know, it's easy to like boil all this down to be really, you know, to simplify it and go, oh, well, with Bangers, she took a hard left. And then with Dead Pets, she took a harder left. And now she's back to the right, you know. But I don't know. I don't think she sees it that way. At least what she told me anyway. She sees it all as sort of like, she says there's a little bit of Bangers in there to me. She says there's a little bit of my Dead Pet self in there. I'm a little bit of my 11-year-old Hannah Montana self, my Can't Be Tamed self. So, you know, maybe it is just a more natural evolution of her. I don't know.
Cool. Well, let's listen to some of it. It is Miley Cyrus' new song, Malibu. All right, that was new Miley Malibu. And for what it's worth, you're wrong, Jason.
Nice.
First couple listens,
I didn't hear any disagreement between you guys, really.
I love it.
Like, what's the disagreement? Because you don't have any feeling of that much.
Yeah. I think it's great. I've after listening to it a couple of times, like, I want to keep listening to it. I think it's very sweet and beautiful.
And you know that song originated in a much more laid-back, almost purely acoustic form. And it was later on that it got that rhythm track to it and became as propulsive as it is. And I'm, you know what? Glad for that, because I'm afraid, as pretty a song as it is, I think in a really stripped-down, slower version, it just wouldn't connect in the way I think it's going to connect. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right, cool. Well, let us talk about, we have another enormous pop artist who's making a huge statement.
All
and,
right.
Break from the
See,
past.
See, I like the weird stuff. Like, I like the Dead Pets. I was like, wow, this is not even, it's a total mess, but I love it. And now, speaking of which,
our boy Harry Styles' debut album out, Jason Lipschitz. What are this? You're talking about this. So you also, John, got an early listen to Miley. You got an early listen to Harry.
I did a couple days ago.
What are your thoughts on this?
Man, I love this album so much. I just like You know, I like Sign of the Times, the first single. Sweet Creature, I was like, that's okay. It's kind of a, on the album, it's actually kind of like a bridge track more than anything. It's there's 10 songs on the album. That's the fifth song, so it kind of separates the first and second halves of the album. But yeah, this album is wild in terms of just like completely having zero aspirations for like hit singles, being this like kind of gonzo 70s rock experiment. Some of the songs sound like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young channeling. Some of them are like very much like Kiss and like Motley Crue.
That's crazy.
And I just think, but it actually really works. Like, he's super compelling on it.
Do you feel like he sells the rock, like the hard rock? Well,
he does. I mean, he doesn't overdo it, but there's definitely elements of way more than the Zayn stuff or even the Niall stuff. When comparing it to the other One Direction members, there's definitely a little bit of that, the end of the, not the end, but the most recent One Direction albums. Like, their last One Direction album, like, had songs that sound like Fleetwood Mac and Oasis. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's definitely some of that here. But you definitely get this sense that, like, Harry is like this artiste. He really is. Like, he really is trying for something
grandiose.
Put a beret
on him. Give him some cigarettes.
Yeah, and some of it doesn't work. Like, some of it just kind of stumbles a little bit. But it's a lot of it is really successful. I think the last song on the album is kind of this, like, this very poetic kind of acoustic song. It almost sounds like a Jose Gonzalez song, and then strings come in and vocal harmonies come in, and it kind of builds up from there. But, you know, it's about, you know, it's about loneliness. Like, it's a really interesting listen. And I just, like, you know, I'm all for more, like, grand shots being taken in pop, even when they don't, like, land all the way. But I sat there listening to this album being like, I can't wait to see this thing live. I cannot wait to see how he does these songs live. And you know, I liked the Zayn album, but I don't think I got that kind of sense. And obviously he didn't tour behind it, but I just can't wait to see what he does to interpret these songs. And like, I think, I mean, obviously what Sign of the Times told us was that he's kind of going for this British arena rock vibe.
Bombast? Can we go with
bombast?
Bombast
is a perfect word. And it's definitely a bombastic album, but it's intimate in parts. Like, it was a very surreal listen, knowing that, oh, like, this guy made What Makes You Beautiful and One Thing and Up All Night, and just has evolved into this very, like, compelling rock figure. So I'm all in on Harry Styles. Like, I remember, you know what it honestly was like? It reminded me of one of my favorite albums of this decade is the Lord album. And I remember listening, I remember going to the Lord's label, their office in 2013, and listening to Pure Heroine. And being the same kind of skeptical beforehand, like, oh, like, Royals is a great song, and but, like, being blown away when I heard it, like, front to back. And I kind of felt the same way, maybe not, like, to that degree, but definitely, like, that kind of rush and excitement for an artist that is kind of coming into their own. So
what impressed me about Lorde was how she was just clever beyond her years. I mean, like, Team was my favorite track from that record. And, like, I mean, I got to interview her for that record, and I was amazed by her. It's interesting comparison, though. I've never met Harry. I've never interviewed him, so I don't know, sort of really get his vibe. And I also feel like he's guarded to a degree that it's hard to kind of get. Except that he's clearly a classic rock fan.
Seriously. Yeah.
I think even like the kind of mystery aura that he has, the kind of like detached like artist like musing about things is very like 70s British rock in itself. Like that's not what pop stars do nowadays. Like they don't maintain mystery, but he is doing that.
Yeah.
And I think that seems very
of
much
of all
like
of them.
An imitation.
He was like the most kind of glowering and mysterious, right? Wasn't he? Or were they all?
Zayn was
the most quiet, but I think Harry definitely like even when he talks, like I mean this in a negative way, he doesn't say much. Like right. His words are very like oblique. Whereas Zayn, like I've seen the One Direction documentary, like Zayn talks very naturally about like being excited to, you know, buy a house for his family, something. Like, you don't hear like normal everyday sort of comments from Harry. Like it's all very, you know, kind of ethereal, oblique.
Wasn't he always the one who kind of seemed to like hate doing press of the five of them the most? I mean, I don't know.
Him and Zayn, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if he's like the next great hope for rock and roll, but
I wouldn't even say that.
I've really gone so back and forth on Sign of the Times. Like at first I thought it was like too close of a ripoff to a variety of things. Yeah. And then I kind of got into it and now I don't know, like it's very catchy. And I like the production.
Yeah.
I would say I'm not totally in on this yet.
Well.
But I am like curious, which I guess in itself is a good thing. Like I want to listen more because there's definitely something there that I need to like figure out.
My question is let's place our bets right now. What year is Harry Styles headlining Coachella? I'm going to say 2021. John's giving me like the is serious look.
You guys talk about this. I don't know. I mean, man, I don't know. I guess he needs to have a couple more records away from that. No, or maybe I don't.
Gonna say yeah.
I'm like half messing with you guys.
Look, I was surprised. I mean, you know, there were a lot of haters complaining when Gaga took Beyonce's place in Coachella this year because we could talk another time about the degree to which Gaga has haters, and you know, I feel like sometimes I'm a lone defender, but I got an army of monsters behind me. But I think Coachella likes to indulge in this idea that it's still somehow this kind of alternative thing. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And clearly with their headliners, they're not.
Yeah.
I mean,
not anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Nothing. I was just going to say, let's listen to. So wait, which Harry song do you want to?
I really like. I love the studio version of "Ever Since New York," which he did on SNL. It sounds great, studio version. So listen.
Now that was the song that. You correct me if I'm wrong. Was said to possibly be about a woman he walked through Central Park with once.
I think so, but yeah. I'm not sure. Like I don't know if I can't say for sure, but I think I heard that about that song. I didn't get it from the lyrics, but
I love the fact that in that and Welcome to New York, we've got two people who haven't spent much time in New York writing songs about New York. So I'm happy that our city can serve as a muse for virtual strangers.
Yeah. Why not?
That's always been New York's side.
No, we are. We're a transient town. We are. Yes.
All right. Well, let's listen to it. Jason, what's the name of the song?
Ever Since New York.
Ever Since New York, Harry Styles.
Just pretend you do. I need something. Just tell me something. Choose your words, cause there's no antidote for this curse. Or what's it worth?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, that was new Harry Styles. Next up, let's talk about, this is another one of your picks, John. It's Alex G, or excuse me, it's now Sandy, Sandy Alex G. And Sandy Alex G. The song is called Proud.
Yeah, the song is called Proud. The album is called Rocket, and it's Rocket's definitely one of my favorite albums of the year.
Great album,
yeah, and it's so like all over the place in a really good way too. Like I'd say the first third of it is got this real rootsy kind of Americana-ish kind of vibe, and Proud would be in that group of tracks. Bobby, the first song that came out I think in like March from the record, is also just really sweet and violin. There's fiddle on it. There's banjo on some of those tracks. His girlfriend actually plays the violin on the record. And then it just kind of goes like takes this left turn about the fourth track called Witch. And I think Witch is maybe my favorite track on the record, but there's one called Horse. It's like kind of wacky and experimental. There's a track called Brick that's as close to hardcore as Alex has ever gotten. I mean, it's super super wild and noisy and flaily and great. And then it kind of quiets back down toward the end of the record too. It's amazing. I mean, he's what is he, 22, 3?
Yeah,
now?
He's somewhere around there.
Yeah. Actually, I think he might be 24, which is Miley's age. So it all comes together. He's made, you know, he released a series of records on Bandcamp like in his early years, when he's like 16. For like 5 years. And then his first record with Domino came out like 2 years ago.
Yep.
And then so this is second with Domino, and I just think his songwriting A, and then B for the last two records he's worked with Jacob from Unknown Mortal Orchestra on arrangements and mixing and mastering, and I think that's made a difference too, just in the records sound more polished, but not overly so at all. And anyway, I highly recommend Rocket. So
I feel like you kind of touched upon everything there. Yeah. I don't really know what to add to it. You said it very well. I mean, it's a beautifully written album. I loved his last one. Yeah. This one is just like the only thing that bugs me about it is that he changed his name.
Do we know why it's like a copyright. Sandy Alex G?
I think it was not copyright, but
there is another Alex G has been a sort of like a bit of a kind of bugaboo, I guess you could say, throughout the last few years since he's gotten more attention with the Domino thing. But I didn't know that was I've seen him address that issue before, but never like it was a problem or a legal problem. Maybe now it is. But I actually hit up Domino before I came over here just to make sure, because I wondered whether he had addressed the change yet. And they said, no, he hasn't talked about it yet, and he doesn't plan to in the near future. So I don't know. The thing is, he had a song called Sandy like years ago.
Yep.
I don't know what, and I don't even know what that was about. If there is a Sandy,
I don't know.
To his Danny Zuko. sorry to be all
well
over
done.
The place today.
No, that was
well
perfect.
Done.
All right. Well, Grease reference. That's perfect opportunity to toss to the song. Sandy Alex G. The song we are talking about is Proud.
It's strong like you. Wish I had something to prove. Wanna be a star like you. Wanna make something that's true. If I say,
all right, that was new Alex G. And that's what we got for this one. Ooh, but John, thank you so much for stopping by. That was really awesome.
Man.
Nice to see you guys.
Have you
hear about
yeah, of course.
Your Miley excursion.
Yep. She's going to be out there soon.
I'm really excited
including
for this
album.
Including
a certain award show, if I'm not mistaken.
That's true. Ooh. Billboard Music Awards.
Yes, she will be.
She will be there performing Malibu.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Very cool.
Her first TV performance of it. And there's a little dance that goes. Did you see toward the end of the video? She does this like sort of like old
kind of like
a boot dance. It's a jig. A jig.
Yeah.
That's the word. A jig.
I totally
missed
that.
And when I was there with her, she's trying to teach it to me. I'm like, please don't try and get me to dance because I'm like, I'm a slow learner. I mean, I can, but it's going to take me a minute.
You don't seem like a river dancer, like type of person.
Not really.
Love it. Cool.
Anyway. Cool. All right. Well, again, thanks for coming by, John.
Sure.
Jason, thank you as always.
Of course, man.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you have thoughts on the songs we talked about or any recommendations for next week, please hit us up on Twitter. And thanks for listening. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.